Grab your Bibles if you would. Psalms chapter number 33.
Amen.
Psalms chapter number 33. When you get there, stand with me. Regardless of what others may say, we are still a Christian nation.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Even though former President Obama declared we weren't, he was just as wrong as everybody else. Amen. We're still a Christian nation. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance. If you don't believe me, pull out your money and look at it. It says, "In God we trust." You don't believe we're a Christian nation, you shouldn't own any money. It's just that simple. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are mad. We'll get the rest of you mad in a minute. I'm just kidding. Psalms chapter 33. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Thank God for the freedoms that we have. I know there's several preacher friends of mine all around the country today that are having different patriotic services. I know one of them's doing an Independence Day service today. I know a preacher friend of mine doing a God and Country service today. We didn't put a label on it, but we are celebrating our freedom today, amen. And we thank God for that. And thank God for those that have given so much. Many gave their lives and every bit of it. Many gave their futures. And they gave it all away to be able to defend the freedoms that we have today. I know there's many veterans today that are struggling with different ailments that they received in combat. My grandpa fought in Vietnam, and he had Agent Orange issues. Brother Ogdi, we had him here several times, Preacher Missions Conference, the pastor for several years, fought, and he had Agent Orange issues. And there are many today, currently even in this room, that are battling and struggling with health issues because of what you went through on our behalf, and we thank you for that. We don't take that lightly. Psalms chapter 33. Look at verse number 12. We'll read one verse. I'll give you the title and we'll get into the message. I'm going to give you a lot of history this morning. I'll give you a lot of the Word of God as well. We're going to lay a foundation. I'm going to show you some truths. Psalms chapter 33, verse number 12. Blessed or happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. It's the first part of the verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This morning we'll preach a message entitled America's God. America's God. The Bible says that God would bless a nation when God is the Lord. And we have a nation that's been blessed. 249 years. Been blessed because God has been the Lord. We're going to look at that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. We thank You for our country and the foundation that it has. Lord, our founding fathers, many of them weren't deists. They weren't paganists. Lord, many of them were Christians.
Amen.
And they believed in order for a nation to rise, the hand of God had to be upon it. And Lord, we don't take that lightly. We live in a society today where many in leadership position have tried to do everything they can to get God out of society. Vote you down. They'll boo you off a stage. They'll remove the Bible and prayer from public schools. They'll fire and they'll fine football coaches for praying at the 50-yard line. I read a story just this week of two teenagers that got arrested because they said there's only two genders. Lord, there's an all-out attack on Christianity. Help us to understand. In order for us to have Your blessing, You've got to be Lord. You've got to be Jehovah God. You've got to have the preeminence. Help us, Lord. It starts in the pulpits. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Our nation's corrupt because our pulpits have dropped the ball. Our churches have dropped the ball. We've not spread the Word of God like we should. Help us to proclaim the truth. throughout the land. We love you. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here the Word of God tells us blessed, or another word for the word blessed is happy. You can go to the New Testament. You can go all throughout Scripture, even in the book of Psalms, and you'll see that blessed is referenced as being happy. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, there are 8 different blessings that are given to the people of God as they follow after the truths of God. And so we know that we have been blessed. We know that we have been a happy nation. We have enjoyed the blessings of God in our nation for now almost 249 years, simply because we have founding fathers that chose to put God as the Lord. Now, if you look throughout the world, and if you look through time and even history, each nation's identity is interwoven with their religion and their belief about their God. Every nation's identity is. When you think of African nations today, you think of oftentimes jungles and witch doctors, tribal lands. It's interwoven with their superstitions. You think of a lot of the Native Americans, and you think of their superstitious beliefs, the medicine doctors and all the different beliefs that they had about nature. If you think about the area of Japan, they adhere to Shinto. The areas of China and Thailand, Myanmar, Sri Lanka and Cambodia, every one of them are great big followers of Buddhism. And some of them even of Hinduism. The majority of the Middle East, some of you have been over to the Middle East. The majority of the Middle East today is steeped in Islam. And most Middle Easterners are identified by their religion. Okay? Correct? Am I right or wrong? We identify countries by their religion. Now, America is one of the few countries that no longer wants to identify itself by its religion. Okay? We have been a country that was founded on Jesus Christ. We are a country that was founded on the doctrines of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, in many of our founding documents, you go to the Portsmouth Compact, you go to the Plymouth, the Mayflower Compact, the Plymouth Constitution, you go to the Rhode Island Constitution, and you go to the Articles of Federation, you go to the Constitution itself, the Declaration of Independence. Many of those founding documents have more references to Scripture in them than most pulpits do on any given Sunday morning. Amen. Most of our founding, if you even go into Washington, D.C. today, and you go to many of the monuments that are there, I've been to Washington, D.C. I went back in 2006 on my senior trip in high school, and we got to see many of the great monuments, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Reflection Pool. We got to go to all these different areas, and all throughout it, embedded in the marble are scripture verses and quotes from our founding fathers in reference to God and the one that we serve. You'll see it all over our nation. Now, God has blessed America because America was established with God as its foundation. Let me give you a little bit of history, okay? In our Declaration of Independence, we have 155 words that comprise America's philosophy of government. I'm going to break some things down for you here. And then right after that, it is followed by 27 listed grievances against the King of Britain or the King of England. There are 5 principles that we find in the Declaration of Independence that set America apart from any other nation, that gives us our godly heritage, our Christian foundation. The first one is the phrase, all men are created equal. Here is the truth that we believe there is one God and that we are His creation. This is the truth. It is listed in our Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal, regardless of race, color, or creed. All men are created equal. By the way, this is the first step of limited government. And if you've ever read our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, we believe in a limited government. We believe in a government that fears the people, not a people that fears their government. Okay? A limited government. You cannot have liberty if you do not have limited government. And limited government comes from the understanding that government is not God in your life. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not where the control of the government is. Amen. The government doesn't give us our liberty. God gives us all of our liberties. But our core doctrine here, our core foundation and belief in the Declaration of Independence is the first one, that all men are created equal. We believe there is one God and that we are His creation. Secondly,
the statement that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. You may remember that from civics class, or you may have read it recently. I don't know, I'm not going to take a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us in here actually know what our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution states. I'll tell you, I read our Declaration of Independence this morning, just because I wanted to refamiliarize myself with some things. I've made it a practice over the last 15 years now to read the Constitution at least once a year. You say, well, why do you do that? Because I want to know what my rights are that are listed, not that the government tells me I have a right to. By the way, we are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. So even your little mainstream media people that tell us that we're a democracy, and your congressmen and your congresswomen and your senators that tell us that we are a democracy, they're flat wrong and they failed civics class. We are a constitutional republic. A republic that is led by the Constitution as our rule of law. Anyway, moving on. We believe, secondly, not only that there's a God and we are His creation, we believe, secondly, that all rights come from God and not our government. That we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. The word unalienable literally means that God gave it to us and no inferior power has a right to take it away. They are unalienable. That means no alien power other than the one that gave it to you, your Creator, can take it away. Now, in your Bible, the Bible lists several things about our unalienable rights. I'll tell you that. I'll show you that in just a moment. But understand, the more that God is taken out of society, the more the government will take over as though they are the ones who gave you the right to begin with. And that is exactly what our government's been trying to do since the 60s and 70s, is slowly remove God from society, take prayer out of public schools, take Bible reading out of public schools, and now they're beginning to even condemn different ones for doing different things. Even back when I was a teenager, they used to have a "see you at the poll" gathering. And now they're condemning schools for even trying to get Bible clubs together. They got so many rules and so many restrictions. It is not our government's responsibility to give us rights. God gave us rights. Thirdly, we believe that our government's purpose is to protect our rights, not to give it to us. Our Declaration of Independence makes this statement, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That to secure what rights? The inalienable rights that we were given by our Creator. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll find in Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Genesis chapter number 8, there are 27 or 24 unalienable rights that God gives to His creation. One of those is the right to life. God created man. One of those is the right to choice. He gave man a choice, a free will there in the garden. And we're not going to go through all of them, but you study Genesis 1 through 8 and you're going to find 24 unalienable rights that were given to mankind. And then in chapter number 9, God creates the government. Amen. The government wasn't the one that gave the rights. The government wasn't the one that created the man. God created all of that. And then God gives us the government. Why? To protect the rights that were given to mankind. You have the right to life, but you don't have the right to choose life over someone else. Amen. You have the right to your life, not to other people's lives. Fourthly, we believe that there is a fixed moral law that we should follow. This is in our Declaration of Independence. The phrase, the laws of nature and of nature's God. What is my moral compass? I'm glad you asked. It's the Word of God. What is my moral law? The Word of God. This is my final authority in all matters of faith and practice. It's what God has given to us. And by the way, our founding fathers knew that. And then fifthly, we believe in the will of the majority as long as it adheres to God's fixed moral laws. The Declaration of Independence states, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Meaning that we have a right to vote. Praise the Lord. And that our vote does matter. Even though they may not treat us like it matters. Most of our congressmen and senators that are up there, they don't follow the will of the constituents. They begin to bark about all the different things they want to do. Now, we understand that, yes, majority rules, the popular vote, and, of course, the electoral vote as well, to be able to give balance to the smaller states, being able to have a voice just like the larger states do. We believe in the electoral system. It was set up in our Constitution, by the way. Now, we understand that majority rules unless it violates God's moral laws. Now, there are those out there that are going to take Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 1 that says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. They're going to take that verse out of context and they're going to say, well, we need to do everything the government tells us to do. No, we don't. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And Peter even said in the book of Acts, I'd rather obey God than man. And so it comes to a point between in our lives where we've got to decide, am I going to obey the government or am I going to obey God? We're going to obey God. Now, back during COVID, the government tried to tell us that we were non-essential. You know what I say to the government? You're non-essential. Amen. Praise the Lord. They try to tell us that we're non-essential and that we shouldn't meet and that we have to have all these different restrictions on how we meet. Well, listen, the government wasn't instituted to tell us how to operate the church. Amen. The church was instituted to fulfill the will of God here on earth. Jesus Christ started it with his own hands. There are four types of laws that God gives us in the Word of God. Ceremonial, moral, judicial, and social laws. And we follow those laws in strict adherence to what the Word of God says. We believe the moral code of the Bible. That there are two genders, one male and one female. Not 2,700 genders and they don't even know what identity they are. Praise God. By the way, this morning while we're having church, there's a church here in town that is having a pride day. Yeah, it's going on in our society. They even changed their logo to the all-inclusive pride flag. Not the rainbow one, but the one with all the 37 different colors. If you don't believe me, my wife's got a picture of it on her phone. This is the society we live in today. Why is it being practiced? Because our pulpits have been silent for too long. God is the one that's laid it out for us. We believe in the moral code of there being one man and one woman. We believe in the moral codes of the Word of God. That God is the one who gives life and God is the one who has the right to take that life away. Amen. Now, God has been America's God throughout our history. There are four things I want you to look at this morning. Like I said, we're going to give some history and we're going to get into some Word of God as well. God has been America's God all the way back during, number one, our birth. Our birth of a nation was established on the foundation that God was the head. That America was going to be founded, it was going to be set apart as a free nation, as a country that was wholly given to God. By the way, the whole reason that the Pilgrims and the Puritans and even the dissenters, of course, we were labeled as what Baptists were labeled as back in the day, because we didn't agree with all the different pagan child baptisms that were going on, the Anglican Church. But the reason they all came to America was so that they could have religious freedom from the persecution that was taking place in Europe. We came here to establish a government and a home where we can worship God freely and independently of what others have said. George Washington made this statement. He said, as our first president, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. That was our first president. My, how far we've come to now our, what, 40, we're 47 now, but our 44th president said that we're not a Christian nation. From our first to our 44th, that didn't take long, did it? My, how far we've come. Benjamin Franklin. You may notice him on the $100 bill if you're lucky enough to see one of those things. Amen. No, he did not invent electricity. Okay, just so you know, children. He made this statement. Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe. That he governs it by his providence. That he ought to be worshipped. There are a lot of people today who try to teach you that Benjamin Franklin himself was a deist and didn't believe in God. Well, those are his own words. You take it up with him. He's dead, so good luck having a conversation. Patrick Henry, one of the great fighters in our early revolution, he said, this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are our founding fathers. These were our early men. These are the ones that were fighting for our freedoms. Laid the foundation. One of the great presidents, Ronald Reagan, back in the 80s, He said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Just four presidents later, the president said, we are no longer a Christian nation. This is where we're at today. In a society that doesn't want to recognize God as being God. We live in a society of relativism. As do what you please. Do whatever feels good. And as long as it feels good and as long as you have your truth, then we can't infringe upon your truth. Well, listen, there is one truth, and that is the moral, absolute truth of the Word of God. You don't have your truth, and I don't have my truth. We have the Word of God, which is truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Not my opinion is truth, because my opinions will fail. Your opinions will fail. The Word of God is truth. And the only truth that we have comes from God Himself. Now, God has been America's God during our birth. Secondly, I want you to notice throughout history, God has been America's God during our battles. God has been our God. God has been the one that we've gone to during the battles that we face. As a matter of fact, if you even look at early American history, one of the greatest paintings of our first president, George Washington, is the painting of his prayer at Valley Forge. Because we had a president, we had a commander-in-chief at that time who believed the only way we're going to have victory is through the power of God. Now, I've got to spend time in prayer. You see, while the soldiers were gathering around a campfire and while the soldiers were there trying to lick some of their wounds and take care of the different problems that they were currently having, their commander-in-chief stepped to the side and said, I've got to get alone with God. I've got to spend some time with the one who's going to win this battle for us. And I've got to spend some time in prayer. If you take and you read George Washington's diary, you're going to come to find many, many references to his prayer life and prayers that he wrote out to God. Even back during our Civil War, regardless of what you think about it, Robert E. Lee, one of the greatest generals in America's history, he said, I tremble for my country when I hear of the confidence expressed in me, because I know too well my weakness, and our only hope is in God. Our only hope is in God. By the way, Robert E. Lee never owned a slave. Because the Civil War wasn't about slavery, it was about states' rights.
That's exactly right.
Brother Throw, Brother Brandon, you're going to like this one. Norman Schwarzkopf made this statement. Some of you may remember who he is. He was one of our generals and commanders back during the Persian Gulf War in the 90s. How many of you know we were in the Persian Gulf War, and at that time, Osama bin Laden had bombed the USS Cole, which was a ship at the time. Norman Schwarzkopf said, somebody came to me and said, you know, what are we going to do about Osama bin Laden? He says, and they asked me, can we forgive him? He said, forgiveness is up to God. It's up to us to arrange the meeting. I thought that was a funny one. I read this thing here recently as well. Here, give something else to get you laughing. Here in America, back when we were growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s, we'd always go around saying, you're the bomb, man, you're the bomb. It was a sign of approval. It was a sign that somebody was great. Well, if they do that in the Middle East, it's an argument over who's going to die. You're the bomb. No, you're the bomb. Moving on. Just saying. Oh, we got to get spiritual this morning. Praise God. God is America's God. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We've seen God be America's God in our beginning, in our birth. We've seen God be America's God in our battles and as we faced hard times. But we've also seen, thirdly, go to Psalms chapter 56, get in the Word of God. Psalms chapter 56, we've seen God be America's God during our brokenness. During our brokenness. Psalms chapter 56, look at verse number 3. Here the Bible says, in Psalms 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Look at verse 4. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. during our nation's history. You can go back and you can look from the time of the Civil War until the time of course World War II. You can see different types of things that took place from the Civil War all the way up to the late 1800s, early 1900s. We went through a time called the Industrial Revolution. In the early 1900s, man learned how to fly, and no, it wasn't just by jumping off of buildings. Orville and Wilbur Wright began to fly back in 1903. We went to war as a world collectively in the early 1910s. And then we had a time of prosperity called the Gilded Age or the Roaring Twenties back in the 1920s. And then it all came crumbling down back in 1929. We had, Black Tuesday, the stock market tanked. And there was a money run on all the banks. Then we went to a time period called the Great Depression. And you're going to find as you study history during those times, even of prosperity, but also specifically those times of brokenness, those times where America was battling different kind of diseases and different kind of famines, the time where America was battling the Great Depression. And then we would go from the Great Depression almost instantly into the 40s or late 30s and early 40s into a World War II. And America got involved because we got attacked there at Pearl Harbor. We get involved in a worldwide war. And our men and our young boys, by the way, there was a time and a day and age where boys would lie about their age so they can go to the military. And now today they're lying about their gender so they don't have to. I'm just saying. Amen. But they would go and they would fight there in World War II. And many young men lost their future. They lost their lives. They lost the plans and the dreams they had to build a family one day. And there were countless times where servicemen would come to a house and every woman knew when two servicemen would walk up to their door, they didn't have to say anything. They knew what was going to happen. They knew their husband or their child had passed away in the war and they knew they were going to be having a burial time. They knew they were going to be having a funeral. They didn't have to say anything. Try to console them during their brokenness. There were times even when we went through what was called the Spanish flu there in 1918, as a country, as a world, went through a pandemic. And then, of course, you go throughout our history, we have the Vietnam War, the Korean War, all the different wars, the Cold War, Persian Gulf War, war on terrorism. Just recently, we went through a period of COVID. I remember as a teenager, even back, we were in a Christian school. I remember September 11th, 2001. I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. I remember everything about that. I remember where I was. I remember being in class. I remember the principal sticking his head in the classroom at 8:05, popping his head in the door and saying, "We just got attacked. They think it's terrorism. I'll let you know more." And he closes the door and leaves. What? What just happened? He pops his head back in. By the way, they attacked the World Trade Centers. Closes the door. Hands go up across the room. What's the World Trade Centers? Because we were just a bunch of dumb teenagers. We didn't have a clue. We didn't know what was going on. And we began to find out all this different stuff that was happening. I remember right after 9/11, for the next several months, churches, the attendance were at an all-time high. Because people were pursuing God during their brokenness. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Back during COVID, people were afraid. People needed hope. People needed somewhere to turn to. We moved our services outside, had parking lot services. We'd preach and people would honk horns, praise God. We had visitors that would show up because they were searching for hope. They were searching for light. They were searching for direction. Why? Because what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You see, during time of brokenness, Americans still turn to God for guidance and for comfort. You'll hear about it on the news even. Rarely, but you hear about it. During earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, even wildfires. Many times they'll interview somebody and they'll say, "Praise God that we're all safe. Pray for our families. Pray for those that are lost." And oftentimes the liberal media people will say, "Our thoughts are with you." They don't need your thoughts, they need your prayers. Amen. And there's a difference. It may not always make the headlines, may not always make the mainstream media, but prayer meetings and calls for God to heal His nation go out across our land during times of brokenness. You see, God has been America's God. God said He would bless the nation whose God was the Lord. And we've seen a godly foundation in America. We've seen the godly blessings. We've seen how God took a nation that wasn't supposed to survive, but it did. God took a nation that in many times throughout its history should not have survived, but it has, because the blessings of God have been upon it. By the way, one of the reasons I believe God's hand of blessing is upon it, go to Genesis chapter 12. Let me show you this real quick. This isn't in the outline, but I'm giving it to you anyway. Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. It said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." By the way, we sang about that, blessed to be a blessing. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." I believe that God has blessed our nation because of our constant support of Israel. Whether you like it or not, we're going to fly an Israel flag in the auditorium of the church here, and we're going to fly it outside on the pole as well. Because we're going to stand with God's people. Amen. Whether you like it or not, whether they're right or wrong, we're going to stand with God's people. We're going to bless them. Why? Because God said He'd bless us if we blessed them. Amen. And He'll curse us if we don't, if we curse them. And I believe that God has blessed America because America has blessed Israel. And I believe also that many of the struggles and issues that America has had over the past 15 years is because we've gone through some issues with our leaders not supporting Israel. Amen. You can call it coincidence if you want, but you can go back to 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans and come out of the Gulf of Mexico. 2 weeks prior to that, President Bush, a quote-unquote conservative, signed a treaty with Islamic nations. Right. And then America got hit with a hurricane, one of the worst up to that time. You call it a coincidence if you want, but I believe it's the hand of God. We have issues today because we have years ago a president who said that we were not a Christian nation. By the way, that was Obama, in case you were wondering. He said we were not a Christian nation, and he began to give a lot of the nuclear secrets to Iran, began to give them droves of money, $400 million, if I don't recall, I think. And now, a decade later, they have nuclear weapons, or they had, before the bunker busters hit. They had nuclear weapons, nuclear capabilities. That didn't happen overnight. It happened because it was a president who turned his back on Israel. And why are we going through some of the issues that we go through as a country? It's because of our stand against God and against His people, Israel. By the way, that was free. It wasn't in the outline. But it's in your Bible. The Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Go back with me in Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46. We saw over in Psalms chapter 56 that God is, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I know there's a place that I can run to. I know there's a refuge I can be at. I know there's somebody I can go to when I'm afraid. I go to God." One of the things we've taught our children, if you ever have a nightmare, spend some time praying. Why? "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." You pray and that'll take care of that. Amen. It's what God does. He takes care of things. Psalms chapter 46, look at verse number 1. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Who do we go to when we have bad news? Who do we go to when we have trouble? Who do we go to if we're going through hard times? So many times we as Christians, we don't go to the place where we find refuge. We don't go to the person that gives us peace. We go to everybody else. The psalmist has told us a great truth. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. So why is it we go to everybody else except for God? Why is it we'll trust the word of our doctor over the word of our God? Why is it we'll trust the word of our friend and our family over the words of God? God is the very present help in time of trouble. God is the one who's going to be there. You see, America had recognized that God was their God, and God was America's God during our birth. during our battles and during our brokenness. But this last one here, number four, this is where we fail to see God a lot of times. This is where we fail to recognize God as being our God as a country. And it's here during our blessings. Fourthly, you see, God's been America's God during our birth. God's been America's God during our battles, during our course of history. God's been America's God during our brokenness, because He's the one that we run to. He's the one that we pray to. He's the one that we go to. But during times of blessing, during times of prosperity, that's oftentimes when we often turn our backs on God. It's when everything is going good. It's when everything is going well. It's when I've got plenty of money in the bank and my kids are doing fine and everything's taken care of and all the bills are paid and I've got all the blessings. I don't spend time in prayer like I should. It's when I've got all the blessings that I'm not going to God and my Bible reading as faithful as I should. That's when I begin to depend on self rather than my Savior. It's during times of blessings. Now listen, we live in America. And America has secured a lot of great blessings over the years. All right? America is a place of prosperity. Okay? Stock markets have been at an all-time high in recent years. Regardless of all the crashes and everything they say, since January, the stock market itself has been up 23%. That means those of you that have 401k investments, they've been going up. Because when you invest in something, it's for a long term, not a short term. Short term's called gambling. All right. Long term's called investment. All right. When you invest in something, in mutual funds or whatever, you're investing for the long haul. You're investing for future generations. And we've seen an increase in our stock market. We've seen an increase in the prosperity of America. Do you realize there are more jobs available today than there are people willing to work? Right. Yeah, people don't want to work today. And there's jobs everywhere.
I just can't find a job.
You don't want to find a job. There's two or three or four jobs you can get everywhere. We have some in this room right now that have had two and three and four jobs over the last year. Why? At a time. Why? Because they're available. Because they're there. Oftentimes, we live in a country that has reaped prosperity. We live in a country that has the blessings of God. Car manufacturing at an all-time high. At an all-time high. We have someone here that grew up and didn't have but one family car that all 17 children had to get into. You ever seen the Brady Bunch in their station wagon? And now we got people that's got four and five cars and cars just sitting in the yard and prosperity. Years ago, families would have televisions. There'd be one television in the house. And the child would be responsible for the antenna. Amen? Brother Thoreau. Be responsible for the antenna. Oh, this way. Oh, that way. The child was the remote. Go turn the knob. Go turn the knob. But now we have televisions everywhere. You have TVs on your phone. You got a smartphone. You got TVs on your phone. Huh? More than three channels. And in color. And you can pause it. I can watch a game on TV and my wife can start talking. I can pause it and not miss a game. Amen. We didn't used to have that. When we first got married, I'd just turn the TV off. I'd come back to the game later. Right? Wow. You got children that's got video games, galore. You don't even know the systems that your kids have. We got like 14 different systems in our house. I got a Nintendo Switch. I got a Nintendo 64. That's my kind right there, the three-handle controller. Yeah. Three hands operate that thing. We got the Super Nintendo, we got the PlayStation 4 and 5 and Xbox One and 360, all the different ones. Got everything. Kids got laptops. They got VR headsets. I don't even know how to work those things. I ain't got a clue. I watched my kid with a VR headset one time. And they had it connected to the TV. I don't know how y'all did that, but you did it. The thing was connected to the TV, and he's sitting there moving around like this and moving around. And I'm watching all the things that are happening on the TV that he's seeing on the screen. It's the strangest thing in the world. And then kids sit in the car and they get motion sickness. Make it make sense, please. I don't get it. We've been blessed. Economic success. Realize today, as little as you think you make more in a day than others around the world make in a month. We live in a land of prosperity. You say, but I'm broke. Okay. There's other people in the world that are broker than broke. And they don't have a job as a broker. They can make it, but they're broke. They're broker than you are. We got a great job market. We have more people who own homes today than ever before. It used to be the American dream just to own a home. It used to be the dream. Man, one day I'm going to own a house. I'm going to make something of myself. I know people who are my age that are already on their fifth house. So they buy them and sell them. They're not content with it. It's constantly moving, constantly changing, constantly doing this, constantly doing that. We live in a world of prosperity. And God has blessed America. But has God been recognized as our God during our blessings? Do we go to God during our blessings? The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Bible says, it's up on the monitor, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. But what about during the blessings? Right. What about during the times where everything's going well? Yes. What about when it's all good? Amen. Do we go to God? Do we trust God during those times? America's a place of prosperity, but America's a place of potential. Realize, whether you like it or not, people are coming to America in droves, and they have been for years. They have been. Now listen, I'm all for immigration when it's done legally. We'll get into a different topic eventually. I'm all for it when it's done legally and properly. I don't let people in my house illegally. Amen. I got a gun rack in my bedroom. Praise the Lord. They don't come into my home illegally. I don't agree with people coming into other places illegally. We don't want people coming into the church illegally and busting some windows down. Doors unlocked, come on in, brother. Amen. But don't make your own way in. Amen. Now, we look at that on a personal level, but on a cultural level as well. We live in America. People want to come here. There are people all around the world who dream of nothing more than coming to America. They made movies about it back in the day. They just want to come here. They just want to be in America. Why? Because if they can come to America, a place of prosperity, a place of potential, if they can come here where the blessings are at, they want to make something of their families. What's sad today is many first-generation Americans are more successful than fifth, sixth, and seventh generation Americans that have only known America. You take somebody who's come here as a first generation, a second generation American, and they've seen their family struggle, and they've seen businesses start from the ground up. And the value and the worth they have and the pride they have in being an American. By the way, in order to become an American citizen, they got to quote parts of the Constitution. They got to quote parts of the Declaration of Independence. They got to quote things that we should have learned back in civics class. And we let kids graduate school while failing civics and failing government courses. Think about that. We live in a country today where young people don't even know what their country stands for and what laws we have. We have immigrants that come here and they study the laws and they study the Constitution and they're able to give you all the amendments and the Bill of Rights and they're able to quote these things. How many of you have ever seen one of those ceremonies where they graduate and become a citizen and it's on the nightly news? We've seen them. They're on there. They're some of the proudest people. Why? Because they've done something. They've made something of themselves. They're expressing potential. Because America's a place of potential. Tell me another country you can go to and get a job like that. Most countries you go to, if you're not a citizen of that country, you can't work. That's why our missionaries can't go there and get jobs. Amen. Brother Thoreau, you're telling me about when you were in Germany. They didn't let everybody just come in and work. You got to be a citizen there. America is a place of potential. And the potential here is endless. Here in America, you can dream big. And you can achieve bigger. Endless opportunities. You can work as many hours as you want. As long as you want. But, go to Revelation chapter 3. Sometimes, in our blessings, we forget God. Sometimes in the blessings, we forget God. God, my family's going through a battle. God, my children aren't doing right. God, I've got this diagnosis from the doctor. And we go to God during all these times. What about during the blessings? The bills are paid. The bank account's full. The cars are new. You have no debt. Praise God. That's the American dream right there. No debt. That's the American dream. But many times, look at Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse number 17. This is where we're at. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, many times we think, well, everything's going fine. Everything's well. I've got everything I need. Everything's being taken care of. The bills are paid. The children are taken care of. They got clothes on them. The dog's got food. Everything's going well. I'm okay. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And we take the blessings of God and we bless ourselves out of needing God. Think about that. We take the blessings of God and we welcome the blessings of God. Listen, I'm not preaching against the blessings of God. I love the blessings of God. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And I thank God for that regularly. God gives us blessings. God gives us good things. And when God begins to bless, I have need of nothing. I did all this myself. And when we begin to say, I have need of nothing, then we get to the point to where we don't need God. And that's where America's been. That's where America's been. We live in a society today that says, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have everything that we could ever need. Our strategic petroleum reserves, we're at an all-time high. We have everything. We're starting up drilling again. We're starting up mining again. We're getting rid of all the different rules and legislation for the EPA. Progress. Many Christians today are at a point where the election went the way we wanted it to. God's blessing the nation. We've got the blessings. We've done our part. And now we don't need God. We begin to fall into a false sense of security. All because everything seems to be going well. Now, is everything what it could be? No. Is everything in America what it should be? No. Is it better than it was? Yes. We would all agree. But during the times of blessings, we begin to forget God. During the times of blessings, we begin to say, I have need of nothing. And God says, look at the verses on the monitor. And God says, and knowest not that thou art wretched.
We live in a wretched society. We live in a society where they call evil good. A wretched society. We live in a depraved society. We live in a society where debauchery is flaunted on the streets all around us. Wretched. He says, thou art wretched and miserable. Many people today are working their 9-to-5 jobs, and they're working everything they can, and they're drawing in money, and they're trying to have what little family time they can, and they're miserable. More Americans today are miserable than ever before. But we've got the blessings of God. Yes, we do have the blessings of God, but we're miserable because we're not recognizing God for who He is. We live in a country that has pushed God out, and we're living in our wretchedness. Our righteousness is filthy rags, the Bible says in Isaiah. We're living miserable lives. Why can't the small guy just ever get ahead? You probably heard that phrase. Miserable. I'm working, I'm doing this, and I still don't have any. Miserable. Always complaining. Never content. That's the society we live in. By the way, the same God that was our God during our birth, the same God that was our God during our battles, the same God that's our God during our brokenness, is the same God on His throne during the blessings. The difference is we're not going to Him like we should. The difference is we're not going to Him like we should. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, that we may find a very present help in time of trouble. See, God is always there. He says we're wretched. He says we're miserable. He says we're poor. Listen, you ain't got to tell me I'm poor. Amen. Other people ain't got to tell you that you're poor. We all know, right? We all know that we struggle with things. But that's not talking about a financial poor. We live in a spiritually poor society. We live in a society that is poor, weak, and anemic in their spirituality. We live in a society today where most Christians, and I read you the statistics before we even got started. Most Christians don't even know what the Great Commission is. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To tell everybody about the Jesus that saved your soul. To go, to win, to baptize, and to teach. And God's blessed America because we've sent out missionaries by the droves for countless years. But did you know there's countries sending missionaries to America today? Do you know that? There are countries sending missionaries to America. How dare they send a missionary to us? We're a Christian nation. Well, if we're a Christian nation, then we need to start acting like it. Amen. They're sending missionaries here. Why? Because we've forgotten the God that we were built upon. We are poor spiritually. Then he says we're blind. I just don't see it. I don't see what you're talking about. Preacher, I don't know why you get up there yelling and screaming and hollering about all this stuff going on in the world. I just don't see it that way. You're blind. Willingly ignorant, the Bible says. Blind. We live in a society that's turned a blind eye to the things going on around us. Well, they're just over there doing their thing, and as long as they're not hurting anybody else, I'm okay with that. Well, it's not going to be long before they're going to be coming knocking on your door, and they're going to be hurting somebody else. We've turned a blind eye for too long. And then he says, we're naked. Now, that doesn't mean anything sexual. It means simply we are exposed. We're exposed. Now, our country is more exposed now than ever before. Think about it. Our military is more exposed now than ever before. Our churches are more exposed to the world now than ever before. Your children are more exposed to the world today than ever before in history. You give a 5-year-old a smartphone that has unlimited access to the internet, and you turn a blind eye and say, they'll be okay. They're exposed. They're naked. And we're blind to it.
Well, I was a kid once and I turned out okay. You didn't have all the things they have access to at that age. And you still turned out halfway okay. Me too. I had my fair share of problems. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I didn't have access to the things teenagers have access to today. And I still found ways to get in trouble. Don't look at me like that. You did too. Amen. We all found ways. And then we're going to trust all these kids with all this unfiltered and unlimited access. Oh, they know what to do. I raised them right. Yeah, your parents thought that about you too. How many times did you prove them wrong? Amen. Yeah, there's still stuff they don't know. Probably. Right before my mom died, I burst her bubble and told her a story of something she had believed for years. I have a scar on my knee right here. I had 7 stitches. For years, my brothers, myself, had told my mom that I busted my knee because we were horse playing inside the house and I ran into the old wooden... How many of you remember the old wooden couches with the floral arrangements on the... on the seats. Those things were made of just solid wood. And they were solid, let me tell you. Well, we had the little block bases, and they were just straight pointed. You come around, you hit that thing, you stub a toe, you're going to break something, and it's going to fillet it in 4 ways. Well, we had told my mom that we were playing around, and I slid and busted my knee on the corner of that couch. Well, about 2 months before she died, we told her the truth. I told my mom, I said, it didn't happen that way. And she said, what? I said, no, we were outside playing. We weren't supposed to leave the house when y'all were gone. We did it anyway. Be sure your sin will find you out. How many hospital visits that way, amen? Playing over in a neighbor's yard. And they had one of those little cauldrons that you put over a open pit fire. And when you flip it over, it's got that band of steel that runs across the bottom where they were sutured together. Where they were welded together on the backside. And I was messing with my brother, as any younger sibling would do. Antagonizing, amen. 6 years younger. I was pushing with him, poking him, prodding him, and I pushed him, and I ran off. And he starts chasing me. I dove off of their back porch. Like an idiot, I was flying Superman in the middle of the air. Well, I thought I dove over the cauldron. I caught it with my leg. It split my leg open. We lied. So why did you tell all that? I have no idea. I don't know where that story was going. Oh, exposed, poor, blind, naked. We're exposed to the world. Listen, I found ways to get in trouble as a kid, and my parents had all the protection necessary. And now we're going to give our kids unfiltered access to the world and expect them to turn out okay. I just don't want to be too hard on my kids. Listen, you survived your parents being hard on you. It's okay. A little discipline never hurt anybody. It always helped. Amen. What was it? You apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning? Amen. Praise God. Now, we've established that God was America's God during our beginning, during our battles, during our brokenness. We don't always see God the way we should during our blessings. But let's transition from America for a moment. Is God your God? God is America's God. Our money even says in God we trust. But have you ever made God your God? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Eleazar, Abram's servant. He prayed to God. He said, the God of Abraham, my master. It was somebody else's God. But there came a point where he realized that God was going to work on his behalf. And he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And he recognized and God became his God. There's got to come a time in your life where God is no longer just America's God. God has to be your God. You've got to come in time in your life and a place in your life where you recognize that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, to provide the way of salvation for you to be able to go to heaven. God help us if we as a country, we've grown up here in America, we send missionaries all out across the world, We got Bible-believing churches that preach the Word of God. We got people that attend church regularly. God help us if we die and go to hell with all the provisions God made for us. Never hearing about the way of salvation. God help those in America that die and go to hell and they've never heard a clear plan of salvation given from the Word of God. We live in a blessed nation. But some of us have blessed God right out of it. Listen, God doesn't need your blessing. He gives plenty of them. But have you made God your God? Not just the founding father saying we need God. Not just our president saying we need God. Not just the current president today that says we need to rely on God. But have you made God your God? If not, you can have a new beginning, just like America did 249 years ago. And it can get with the foundation of God. Then during all your battles, you'll have somebody to go to. Then during all your brokenness, you'll have a refuge and a strength. Then during all your blessings, you'll recognize where it came from. But God has to be your God. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. We live in a blessed nation. It's only been blessed because God was the foundation of it. And you can have a blessed life today only if you'll allow God to be your foundation. Only if you allow God into your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I got one question this morning. Didn't preach a salvation message, but God can work through anything. I know He can. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt about that? So, Brother Terry, I don't know if I've ever made God my God. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. So I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I were to die, but I want to know. Would you slip your hand up? Let somebody pray for you, please. Well, take it with no hands going up. I'll take the testimony. Everybody in here believes they've trusted Christ. So you're telling me you've made a time and place in your life where God became your God. Well, let me ask you. How many times have you run to God? Yes, during your battles. Yes, during your brokenness. But have you forgotten about Him during your blessings? It's time for we Christians to return to God. It's time for us Christians to return to God. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You.